Now, we begin today's show with a conversation I have had with a Morning Focus listener who wants to highlight what she describes as the awful silent fertility issue. Emily Manzi-Woods, who lives in Ennis, suffers from Asherman's syndrome. Emily has been suffering from this condition since 2014, but was diagnosed with it in 2020. Emily joined me in studio earlier and began by sharing her story and how it ultimately led her to finding out she had Asherman's syndrome.
Basically, back in 2009, I suffered a miscarriage. I had a D&C for that, but that was fine. That was totally healthy and normal. I conceived within 6 weeks after that D&C. After that, then I had in October 2010, I had a beautiful, healthy girl was born. But then I miscarried again. Then in 2014, October 2014 was my second miscarriage. So I was 6 weeks gone at the time. And I went into the maternity and they discovered on the scan that the fetus was only 6 weeks. So I was given I was given the option to pass it naturally because the 6 weeks, it was only a tiny little peanut at the time.
So this wouldn't have caused any issues for you whatsoever if you were to pass it naturally?
No, it shouldn't have been. No, it wouldn't have caused any issues, no.
Because of the size was small.
The size was small, yeah. Okay. But I was scared, so I asked questions. So I said to the midwife, I said, well, if I pass it naturally, would it cause me pain or what? And she goes, you'll have pain and some clotting as well. So I goes, oh God, no, I'm no good for pain. So can I opt for another D&C, please? I've had a D&C before. So she goes, this will be your second D&C, and I won't. I goes, it will be, yeah. So I had that D&C anyways a week on the 13th of October of 2014. And that was fine. I went home. I started feeling well. I had flu-like symptoms. They told me if I started feeling well to come back to them. So I went back to them in Halloween, 31st of October, feeling awful unwell. And the into admissions they brought me and they took another pregnancy test. And that was shown positive. And I said to myself, how in God's name is that positive when I had the D&C.
After what you've been through, the last thing you would expect to find out is that you're getting a positive pregnancy test.
That was showing up, and also I was feeling very unwell.
And when you say you felt unwell, Emily, like what were you experiencing or suffering, and for how long was that going on? Did it happen immediately after the second D&C?
The second D&C, it came on, say, about 2-3 days later after the D&C. The sickness did. So just I've high temperature, cramps and nausea. So I'm back in then, and they took my bloods, and my HCG levels were sky high, because in a pregnancy test your HCG levels have to be high to detect a test. So that was grand. So I had to keep going back in and forth then for 3 months. They didn't diagnose it, nothing. It's just the thought it was more of a pregnancy.
And how you were going in?
From October to December, in and out of the hospital for bloods.
You'd been in a couple of times during that period?
Yes, because they couldn't figure out what it was I had, what was wrong with me. Okay. And then she came down to me then in December.
Doctor,
my gynecologist.
Your gynecologist, yeah. Okay.
She came down to me in December and she said to me, Emily, we'll have to take you for an ultrasound scan in the regional hospital. So I went for that ultrasound scan and it showed up that I had retained products of conception.
And when you say retained products of conception, can you spell that out for our listeners?
It means that the second D&C I had 6 weeks, they weren't able, they left some of the fetus inside me.
So some of the fetus was still inside
some
you?
Some of the fetus was still inside me from October to December for 3 months. You know, before they diagnosed it. They diagnosed in December before this. They were going around in circles what to do with me, and it could be a molar pregnancy, this could be topic and all this. There's over and back it was. So I finally found out it was products of conception.
Your doctor explained it to you?
She did. Yeah, she found it on the ultrasound scan. It showed up on that. So she explained to me that we're really sorry this has happened to you. But it shouldn't have happened to you at all, she said. So we're going to have to arrange for you to go for an emergency D&C. This was the third D&C now I've had. So that's 2 D&Cs in the space of 3 months.
So at this point, you find out that there's still some of the fetus inside you. I'm sure you were shocked, or to say the least.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, because, well, to be honest, the D&C only 20, I was out in 20 minutes, and it should have taken a bit longer than that, because the first one I went for in 2009, the very first miscarriage I had, the D&C took 40 minutes.
Okay.
And I conceived 6 weeks later. The second then D&C took 20 minutes. It wasn't done properly, I don't think. So that's why it was rushed.
And now you're being told you need a third one.
I've been told now I need an emergency third DNC by my gynaecologist. So to get out, this will be guided, she said to me. I asked her, what does guided mean? She goes, to be screen on the, in the teaser, so it'll show us what we're doing, she said to me. Whereas the other two DNCs you had, they were not guided, she said to me. They were blinded procedures.
The first thought that comes to mind there, Emily, is why were they blind procedures if on the third DNC there's a television screen to guide them? Why is that not used for all DNCs?
That's just
because I presume that could have prevented what happened with in terms of some of the fetus being left.
Yeah, I understand. I agree totally with you as well. That's the procedure here at the HSE in Ireland with DNCs. They're just blind procedures, because I asked my obstetrician up in Galway, I asked him the same questions, why aren't they all guided? He said to me, they don't be guided here at all. A DNC is not guided, he said. It's just a blind procedure. That they use instruments to scrape out the fetus, like.
But, I don't know, I'm sure, I presume there's an explanation, logical reason for why they don't, but we've, in your instance, it could have helped avoid some of the fetus
retained.
Being left in there.
Yeah, it could have.
Why they would just go with a blind procedure if they can utilise the screen and it could help avoid this kind of scenario? It seems strange.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. I'm just so frustrated by the whole lot, you know what I mean, and upset and distressed.
So you went for the third DNC.
I did.
They have the screen so they can see what they're doing. What happened from there?
I was about an hour and a half, 2 hours in surgery. I lost a pint and a half of blood because she perforated my womb a small bit. That's a risk anyway. I was told that. I signed papers. But I was an hour and a half in surgery and came out then and I was really, really sick. You know, I had to wear a bag for my urine and all that. Yeah. But I was at home after a couple of nights and my obstetrician told me that I can try, that my menstrual cycle will come back in 6 weeks' time, post-op. Okay, you can start to try and conceive again, she said to me. So 6 weeks passed, and this was about February. Yeah, I left about February to see if it would come back. No sign of my menstrual cycle at all, never came back. So I rang in February, asking to speak to my obstetrician, explaining that she said to me that post-op, my menstrual cycle will come back in 6 weeks. I goes, it hasn't been back, it's 6 weeks now. And she goes, look, give it time, give another couple of weeks. And March came, April came, and they gave me appointments to go in and see her into St. John's. So I was put on a medicine called, it's to start your menstrual cycle. You know, it's a tablet. You know, it's a false tablet to start my menstrual cycle, because the DNC, it must have ruined the cavity of my womb, my endometrium. That must have it damaged it, like. But I didn't know at the time. So my menstrual cycle was gone for a full year after that.
And, you know, what was the, forgive me now, but I'm asking as someone who doesn't have a womb, what impact that has, not having a menstrual cycle? I presume, are there any issues other than an inability to conceive?
No, that was just down to that.
Okay.
Other than that, I was healthy. You know, my ovaries were healthy. I was ovulating, all this. I was healthy. Okay. No inabilities not to conceive, just down to this. My menstrual cycle was gone for a full year after the operation. When she said to me, it'll come back post-op. 6 weeks post-op. She explained that to me, my gynecologist.
So what happened then? You've had your third DNC, that happens. And Asherman syndrome, when do you become aware that you have this? And I'm sure when you heard this phrase, you went, what is that?
Yeah, in 2014, when I was told my menstrual cycle came back then, probably in 2006, it was gone for 2 years, 2016 it came back, you know. So we were still trying for a baby and nothing was happening at all, you know. So we were getting frustrated because what is going on here? Like, I got my menstrual cycle back. I should be pregnant by now, like. So my doctor couldn't do no more for me, so she referred me to a fertility specialist in Salt Hill, and he was brilliant. The first checkup I had with him, he done a transvaginal scan, and he said to me, he goes, Emily. I goes, yeah. He goes, your womb is covered in scar tissue. I goes, what do you mean? He goes, you've Asherman syndrome, he said to me. Now, this was in 2020 now, 6 year period. We were frustrated, wondering why I wasn't falling pregnant and all this, and the doctors couldn't do no more for me. So he discovered the Asherman syndrome in 2020. It was October 2020 when my doctor in Galway diagnosed it for me.
So Asherman syndrome is this scarring of your womb, which that's a result of having three DNCs?
It's caused by having repeated DNCs.
Repeated DNCs.
Yeah, repeated DNCs, yeah.
And what are the implications of that? Now that you have Asherman syndrome, what does that mean? Do you need to take medication? Does
no,
it mean
no.
you never have any chance of conceiving ever again?
Or? No, I've only... He said to me, either I can go for surrogacy or adoption. My fertility specialist said to me. And I've only got a 3% chance of falling pregnant naturally. And if I do fall pregnant, he said to me, there's a big possibility I could miscarry. Because the whole top of my endometrium is covered in scar tissue. And that's the most important place where the baby has to implant, is in the endometrium. And also, one of my right fallopian tubes is blocked with scar tissue as well.
With such a low percentage success rate, and even if you are successful in conceiving, likelihood of miscarriage, I presume you have all but given up hope of having a third child.
Yes, well, I haven't given up, but I'm hoping, you know what I mean, as well. Like, I mean, do you know, miracles can happen. Like, I'm just hoping. But he just said, just to call it a day, he said to me, you know. But then I was doing research myself and I joined the Asherman Syndrome Group. It's over in the UK. And it's more common over in the UK. Women and doctors have more knowledge of it over in the UK than in Ireland. So I joined the group and there's a doctor over in London and I'm hoping to go over to him to see. He's a top doctor in London who specialises in women with Asherman syndrome. And I've spoken to some of the women on the group and they've told me that in the same situation as me, I see Asherman syndrome is graded. It's graded 1, 2 or 3. I'm grade 3. So he's treated women with grade 3 Asherman syndrome as well.
And is 3 the most severe?
That's the most severe one, yeah. And that's the one I have. So he's treated women with that. So I'm hoping he'd be able to do the same with me.
Okay, well, fingers crossed. But I suppose like the main crux of why we're having this conversation is you want to make other women aware of Asherman syndrome, what it is,
yeah,
and that they may have it. They may have had a number of DNCs
and
be struggling to conceive and not know this
remember,
is why.
Yeah, they have to remember that the very first symptom of Asherman syndrome is very light, a very light menstrual cycle or no menstrual cycle at all after having a DNC. That's the first sign you have it. If you have that, you have to go and talk to your GP and they refer you on to a gynaecologist and then you'll be sent for a hysteroscopy, it's called. And that's an operation. It's a camera inside your womb and it gives a photograph of your womb to see how bad the scar tissue is. And I've had 4 of them, hysteroscopies, by doctors here in Ireland. Mullingar and my doctor in Galway, I've had 4, and they can cut the adhesions away, they can cut the scarring away like with scissors, but once they're cut away they grow back just as thick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you having a scar on your hand, you're falling and having a scar, and that scar will never heal. That's what it's like with Asherman syndrome. The scar, the adhesions will never heal in the womb. So I had 4 hysteroscopies to try and heal my womb, but they grew back just as thick. So this doctor over here now in London, he'll do the hysteroscopy on me, but he has more knowledge of the doctors back here in Ireland. So he'll do the hysteroscopy on me, he'll cut away the adhesions, but he will place a balloon sort of catheter in my womb to keep the walls open, the walls of the womb open, and put the balloon in the middle so the cavity won't stick together. Because with the cavity sticks, that forms adhesions. So he'll do that procedure and give me a course of oestrogen tablets and progesterone tablets to thicken my lining, you know, to try and make me conceive. So I'm hoping that's the procedure that will go well over in London with Dr. Allure.
Okay, well, we wish you well in that.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you coming in to share your story and to make our listeners aware of Asherman syndrome. There could be listeners out there who've had a number of DNCs and may be wondering what the issue with their menstrual cycle is or why they're struggling to conceive. Emily Manzi-Woods, thank you so much for joining us on Morning Focus this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.